Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this regular meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Council. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and tonight we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Holloway, would you please lead us?
Please stand and join the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Beal.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem McGurr.
Here.
Councilmember Baird.
Here.
Councilmember Figueroa.
Here.
Councilmember Holloway.
Here.
Thank you. That brings us to item one, schedule of future events. Who would like to give that report?
That would be
Ms. Kuda.
Mayor
good
Beal.
Evening.
Item 1.1 is National Prescription Medication Take-Back Day. On Saturday, April 26th, the City of Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services will be participating in National Prescription Medication Take-Back Day. The event will take place from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Rancho Santa Margarita City Hall parking lot. Participants will be able to safely and conveniently dispose of unwanted, unused, and expired prescription medications. We cannot accept needles or sharps, marijuana liquids, or pressure canisters. This event is free and drop-off is anonymous. For more information, please visit our city website or call 714-647-4133. Next, item 1.2 is the fiscal year 25-26 budget development workshops. The fiscal year 2025-26 budget development workshops will be held at City Hall in the Council Chambers on Thursday, May 8th from 4 to 9 p.m. and Wednesday, May 14th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. And finally, item 1.3, splash pad opening day on Saturday, May 3rd. Summer's just around the corner, and the City of Rancho Santa Margarita is excited to announce that the splash pad will reopen its doors for the summer session on Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. The hours of operation for the season will be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more information, including splash pad rules, updates, and operating hours, please visit rsmconnect.org. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that report. Bringing us to item two, council member comments and reports. 2.1, council member comments. My right. Councilmember Baird.
I'd like to just say a reminder that artwork created by students from RSM Intermediate is currently being displayed at the Bell Tower Community Center through May 23rd. This exhibit is proudly sponsored by RSM Cares, which also hosted a reception on Monday for the students and their families. And we encourage everyone to visit the exhibit and enjoy the exceptional talent showcased by these young artists. I also recently attended a special ACCOC briefing titled Strengthening Integrity in Public Leadership that was held in collaboration with the Orange County Board of Supervisors, the District Attorney's Office, and the Sheriff's Department. The event focused on promoting ethical governance and reinforcing accountability in public service. Chairman Doug Chaffee of the Orange County Board of Supervisors opened the program with remarks highlighting the vital role of transparency for public officials. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney David Ahn discussed key indicators of public corruption and provided practical strategies for fostering good governance. District Attorney Todd Spitzer underscored our collective responsibility in upholding public trust, while representatives from the OC Sheriff's Department Intelligence Agency emphasized the importance of collaboration among local officials in safeguarding institutions from foreign influence. As a newly elected public official, I believe that integrity and transparency are essential to earning the respect and confidence of our community, and these principles will continue to guide my service and decision-making. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Figueroa.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I just want to give a big thank you to Mission Viejo Animal Services. This weekend, there were reports of a mountain lion sighting in back of some homes here in Rancho Santa Margarita. And our Mission Viejo Animal Services proceeded to send an officer out very, very late Saturday evening to look for the mountain lion, and then sent additional officers out on Easter Sunday as well, a holiday weekend. So thank you to Mission Viejo Animal Services for being vigilant and watching out for the safety of our residents, especially during a holiday weekend. So if you've experienced a coyote, mountain lion, or bobcat sighting, please contact Mission Viejo Animal Services at 949-470-3045. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. To my left, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. I just want to thank all the volunteers who came out for the food drive on April 13, the RSM Cares food drive, to collect food and donate food to help those in need here in Rancho Santa Margarita. We collected hundreds of pounds of food. I want to thank Mr. Mayor for supporting this. I want to thank Councilmember Holloway and Councilmember Figueroa for joining me and volunteering that Saturday all day, morning and noon and into the early evening, collecting hundreds of pounds of food for the food bank. So many thanks to those individuals, as well as Pavilions, Chris O'Connor, the Tribuco Hills High School Spanish Honors Club, the Santa Margarita Catholic High School Key Club, and of course, RSM Cares for all they did that day, including my wife, Julie. So thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to item 2.2, committee assignment reports. We have just one, and that is for the Foothill Eastern Transportation Authority. And as our city's representative on the Toll Road Board of Directors, there's two items I'd like to highlight for you from our most recent meeting in April. The first is we adopted our annual capital improvement plan, and this capital improvement plan, that's the guiding document for the capital project delivery work for the upcoming fiscal year to benefit regional transportation and to help maintain free flow conditions on the toll roads. And when it comes to roadways like this, the projects are on the large side. There are three current capital projects. The 241-91 Express Connector that I've talked about a number of times, State Route 73 Catalina View improvements, and State Route 241 Loma improvements. So for the upcoming fiscal year, the capital improvement plan represents an approximately $37 million investment for the San Joaquin Hills TCA and approximately $524 million for the Foothill Eastern in current capital projects. The second thing I wanted to highlight relates to that big number, and that is the 241-91 Express Connector. For those of you that may not be aware, that is where, if you've ever tried to take the toll roads out towards Riverside, it occasionally backs up a long ways. And we're trying to build an express connector so you would have the option to bypass the queue that could be more than a mile long and just whiz on through for an extra toll. And so we approved at our last meeting a resolution to proceed with that project and revalidate the supplemental environmental impact report for that project. And so we've cleared the way to continue moving as quickly as possible to get that project built, and we're anticipating that construction hopefully will start sometime this year. So that's my report for the TCA. Bringing us now to item three, presentations and proclamations. 3.1 is a presentation regarding the Rancho Santa Margarita Chamber of Commerce schedule of events and updates. And I understand Ms. Bunny Ikes will be presenting this item for us. Good evening, Bunny.
Hello again. First off, we had the mayor's roundtable luncheon today, a huge success. Our mayor's roundtable was such a success, we ran out of space. That's how bad it was, or good it was. Sold out crowd, and the highest number of sponsorships and attendance we've ever had. So a heartfelt thank you to Mayor Beal, Mayor Pro Tem McGurv, Jennifer Cervantes, and the city staff who participated today. A big shout out to Alza Kitchen because they've been a longtime member and they've always been supportive of us. They gave us their entire patio, which I think we're going to outgrow next year. Ribbon cuttings, that's mainly one of my membership and ribbon cuttings and anniversaries is what I am majoring in here. We've had a steady flow of ribbon cuttings. Can you guys hear me? Strong indication of momentum and growth in our business community. Center Stage and Dance was one. American or AFC Urgent Care, Bobby Gritch Auto Care. In the Antonio Plaza alone, we had B-Mobile. We had Prima Pilates, The Now. And we have four more planned, Auntie Anne's Cinnabon, which I'm so happy they're opening because I get calls almost every day when they're going to open. We also have Elite Dentistry in the Antonio Plaza. We have AIM Mail Center in Mercado del Lago, as well as Pure Bar. We've had approximately 60 new and renewing members since January. I took over at that point, and I really love new memberships, but I really have a strong love of renewing. That means retention and loyalty. And so I make sure they're not mailed out. I try to deliver each one separately. We're happy with our implementation of this year's business workshops, which we started in 2024. We now changed the name of it to Brewing Up Business. And we have had, I would say, 3 to 4 times the amount of attendance for that. It's on the, it's in Hannah's now. Hannah's a private little wine room on the side next to the Hot Cafe. And we're charging now, and people are loving it. So they're showing up because we gave it value, I think, is the reason why that happened. We have some AI workshops coming up. We have a series of 3. They're in person, hands-on, with your laptop. There'll be introduction to AI. There'll be intermediate AI and advanced AI. The dates are April 29th, May 6th, and May 13th. They'll be in the technology lounge here at the Bell Tower, and they're from 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning on those dates. We have 2 professors from Pepperdine, Professor Frederick Heim and Professor Virginia Green, who will be presenting the workshops for us. If you attend all workshops, you can get in for $25 for all 3. If not, you can $10 each. Continental breakfast is included with that as well. Let's see. Next thing coming up is our federal and state legislative update breakfast. That will be at Tears Creek Golf Course. That's on May 9th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. I'm not a morning person. Congresswoman Young Kim will be there from the 40th District, as well as our own Kate Sanchez from the 71st District. It's a great opportunity to stay informed and up to date with all the legislative impact going on in our region. We have changed Rancho Fest this year. We've been doing it on Saturdays and Sundays. We're changing it now to be Friday and Saturday, October 3rd and 4th. We think we'll get more attendance that way. We decided to change it up, but we still have a great lineup of entertainment, along with plenty of local business and food vendors who will show off our wares to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Appreciate that report. Item 3.2 is agendized to be a certificate of commendation to Orange County Sheriff's Department's 2024 Deputy of the Year recipient, Deputy Brian Bertzlaff. Unfortunately, as much as we wanted to present this tonight, he couldn't make it tonight, so we're going to re-agendize that for the next meeting where he'll be able to attend. So that brings us to item 3.3. Certificates of recognition as part of our student recognition program, which I'd like to invite the mayor pro tem, and tonight I'd like to invite Councilmember Baird to join me in front of the dais for these presentations. All right, this is always a favorite part of our meeting agenda. Tonight we're going to recognize some outstanding students from Melinda Heights Elementary School. And to assist us with these presentations, I would like to invite forward Principal Wendy Hochschild and any teachers and staff from the school that might be present. So as I mentioned, we're going to honor 2 outstanding students tonight. And as I call your name, if you would, please come forward. First up, Maya McDowell. And next up is Owen I apologize, Owen. Pagliacci. Thank you for the assist. All right. I'm going to begin by telling you a little bit about Maya McDowell. Maya McDowell is a sixth grade student, and she has been selected for this recognition by the staff at Melinda Heights Elementary School. Maya is a conscientious student who excels across all academic domains. And in school, Maya is part of the student-led leadership team called Melinda Elementary Leadership Team, or MELT for short, where she dedicates her free time to help plan and run MELT's philanthropic activities all year long. Additionally, Maya plays four competitive sports outside of school. She plays soccer, football, softball, and basketball. And all of these attributes make Maya an amazing young lady, but it is her kind and caring relationships with her peers that makes her deserving of this special recognition. Maya is loved by all and goes above and beyond and leads with her whole heart. So Maya, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of all my city council colleagues and the 50,000 residents of this great city, it's our honor and privilege to recognize you tonight and congratulate you on your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations. Now I'd like to tell you about Owen Pagliacci. Owen is a sixth grade student, and he's been selected for this special recognition by the staff at Melinda Heights Elementary School. Owen is a leader who follows directions and rules respectfully, setting an example and encouraging others to follow his lead. Peers and adults alike are drawn to Owen due to his positive personality. And Owen is a friend not only to all the students in his classroom, but to all the kids he encounters at Melinda Heights. Owen loves to help younger students find their way through the hallways, and he always sits with anyone who is alone. He embodies the true meaning of what it is to be a Melinda Elementary Leadership Team student leader. Owen is a hardworking student who, when assignments are given, thinks about them intently and creates a plan for himself. He asks questions. He wants to know all the information he can to do the best job that he can. And Owen serves his community by running his own car cleaning business in his neighborhood, where all of his customers are pleased with his manners, his respect, and of course, the great job that he does on the cars. So Owen, as the mayor, on behalf of my city council colleagues and all the people of this great city, it's our honor and privilege to recognize you tonight and congratulate you on your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations. So you have, each of you, a certificate of recognition from the city of Rancho Santa Margarita, but you also have a certificate from some other very important people. All the way from Sacramento, you have a certificate from our state assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, and all the way from Washington, D.C., from our congresswoman, U.S. Representative Young Kim, and they both want to send their congratulations to you for a job well done. Mm-hmm. Principal, would you like to say a few words, or any of the teachers?
I've known this girl since she was a baby, and she has always had a big heart, and I love having her in my class. She definitely exemplifies what it takes to be a mountain lion, and I'm very proud of her. I adore her, too. Congratulations, Maya.
Anybody else?
Both of you.
Okay. Well, Owen.
Come on, stand next to Owen.
Mrs. Trammell and I had the privilege of sharing this year teaching Owen. And honestly, everything that you said, he's a light. He is a light to students around him. He's very techie also, because there might be moments where, I don't know about you, but I'm not that techie. Owen's on it like that. He has your back. But he's just one of those students and kids and people that you are excited to look forward to your future, knowing that he will be one of the people kind of supporting you throughout your future.
Yeah. I'm just going to echo everything that was already said about Owen. He is joyful. When I see Owen every day, he's just always full of joy with his friends, his teachers, everybody he meets. I love your joy. Never, never, ever lose that. So thank you for your joy. Congratulations, Owen.
Thank you. I triple everything you all say. As principal of Melinda Heights, I'm new to the school this year, and I am so proud to be the principal there. We have the most wonderful students, as you can see, and these two are just wonderful, shining stars. They are the kindest, most incredible students, and I'm so thankful to you for honoring them tonight and giving us an opportunity to show what great kids we have, and we'd love to share more.
At this time, we're going to pause and take some photos. We're going to do a group shot with everyone up here, and then we will separately be happy to take a photo with each student separately, and any family members that are here can come up and join in the picture. But everyone's welcome to come up here and take all the photos you want right now. Maya's family, if any of you want to get in the picture, you can leave your cameras there, and Laura there will be happy to take some.
Congratulations.
You're all still welcome. Hi, good, thank you. Thank you for being here. Congratulations.
I saw Maya's face. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll share it because it's not turning on. Oh, there it is.
There we go. You're welcome. A chair for Maya. Now, Owen's clan.
Thank you.
All right, we'll continue on with our agenda. That brings us to item 4, which is public comments. This is the first of two opportunities tonight to address the City Council on any matter not listed on the agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the city. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per person and a time limit of 15 minutes for this particular segment. We have one e-comment received from Liz Cabrera. And she wrote to us with respect to the emergency operations plan that was addressed at our last meeting. And just a reminder for members of the public, e-comments need to be received by 4:30 p.m. on the day of a city council meeting in order to be addressed during that particular meeting. E-comments that are received after 4:30 p.m. on the day of the meeting, those will be acknowledged at the next following city council meeting. So I have just that one. You have her written comments before you regarding the emergency operations plan. I have no other e-comments and no speaker request cards, correct?
There are none.
Okay, thank you. So that brings us quickly to item 5, the consent calendar. All matters on the consent calendar are to be approved in a single motion unless a member of the city council, staff, or a member of the public requests separate action on any item. Do we need to remove any items from the consent calendar? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. So we're now at item 6, public hearing items. 6.1 is a proposed resolution amending the city's master fee schedule by adjusting certain general government fees and other city rates, charges, and user fees for various government services based on the increases in the consumer price index. Ms. Turner, I think you're going to deliver this report. Good evening.
Good evening. So thank you, Mayor and Council members. Tonight, Finance is bringing forward for approval a proposed resolution amending the city's master fee schedule. In order to ensure that fees, rates, and charges for municipal services do not exceed the estimated reasonable cost of providing such services, the city contracted to have a cost allocation plan and fee study performed, and it was approved back in May of 2017. So allocation plan, the fee study, and a resolution adopting an updated master fee schedule for the city of Rancho Santa Margarita was approved back on May 10th of 2017 by City Council. That resolution provided that fees for service shall be adjusted annually beginning on July 1st, 2018, and then on July 1st, for each fiscal year thereafter, in accordance with the Consumer Price Index. The first CPI increase was done in July of 2018 and has been done annually since. The rate proposed at this time has been calculated at 3.11%. The resolution adjusts certain development processing fees and other city rates, charges, and user fees for various government services based on the increase in that Consumer Price Index. Community Service Department fees are listed, however, remain at levels, rates, and formulas previously authorized by Council. Additionally, staff has updated the master fee schedule employee position rate sheet to include a line item for city attorney and special counsel legal services. These costs will be based on the applicable contracted rates in full force at that time. All other positions are consistent with the resolution adopted by the City Council in June of 2024, establishing classes of regular employment, salary ranges, and benefits for employees. Otherwise, there are no other fee adjustments proposed with this CPI update. So at this time, staff recommends that the City Council conduct a public hearing to consider adjusting user fees based on the CPI increase of 3.11%, adopt a resolution approving updates to the master fee schedule by adjusting certain general government fees and other city rates, charges, and user fees for various governmental services. And if approved, the new user fees will take effect 60 days or from the date of adoption, which will be for this one, July 1st, 2025. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Turner. Before I open the public hearing, council colleagues, are there any questions for staff? I have just one. These are just simply CPI adjustments. It's a cost recovery process only, really. This is not intending to make a profit at City Hall. We're just trying to cover the cost of providing these services. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. All right.
And also to clarify, Mr. Mayor, it would be we are prohibited from charging more than the cost to provide the service. So it's not just a design. We cannot do that. There is no legal way to charge more.
Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. So at this time, I'm going to open the public hearing, and this is the time where we would receive any public testimony. I don't believe I have any speaker request cards at this time.
There are none.
Any member of the audience care to speak? Seeing none then, I'm going to close the public hearing and open it, this item, for City Council discussion and deliberation. Anybody care to begin? Councilmember Holloway.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No questions, but I just want to thank staff. This is a tremendous amount of work, Stephanie, you and your staff, city manager. The numbers are substantial. I can't imagine how many hours you had to put in for this, but to do this. But thank you for your effort, and I think it'll be a benefit to the resident. And these fees, like there's, Jennifer mentioned, they're the cost of doing business. So we're glad that that's the case. And again, just thank you for doing all this work. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem, anything? Nothing over here. All right. Then at this time, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve and adopt the staff recommendation. Do I need to read the entire title? I move to adopt the staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Quickly bringing us to item 7, new business, 7.1, proposed fiscal year 2025-26 community development block grant expenditure plan. Ms. Kuda, are you going to kick this one off?
I'll kick it off. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. Our CDBG consultant, Mike Linares, is here to give a brief presentation.
Good evening, Mike. Nice to see you.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Is it on? Okay. Thank you. I have a short presentation for you. I feel guilty keeping you here, but got to do my job here. As was read, this evening I'm presenting to you the preliminary expenditure plan for next year's CDBG, Community Development Block Grant Program. I know the council members are very familiar with the program, but just very briefly, the Community Development Block Grant, the CDBG program, is a federal grant that's administered by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The city has been receiving CDBG funds since 2006. Excuse me. All activities that are funded with CDBG must meet one of three national objectives: benefiting low and moderate income residents, addressing issues of slum and blight, or an urgent need, which is defined as a natural disaster, or excuse me, a presidentially declared disaster. The city's program is primarily focused on benefiting low and moderate income residents. In order for the city to receive CDBG funds, it must have a consolidated plan. The consolidated plan is a 5-year strategic plan that identifies priority needs in the community and also strategies on how CDBG and other resources can be used to address those needs. The current consolidated plan covered fiscal years 2001 through the current fiscal year of 2004-2005. It was approved by the City Council in May of 2020. A new consolidated plan is currently available for public review that will cover fiscal year 25-26 through 29-30. It's under public review. We are planning on bringing that to the council at your May 14th meeting. A component of the consolidated plan is the annual action plan. That's the one that I typically will come to the council on an annual basis. And what the purpose of this meeting is tonight, or this presentation is tonight. The annual action plan is actually the expenditure report. How are you going to use your grants for that specific year to fund specific programs or activities to meet the goals and objectives that are identified in the consolidated plan? To date, we still don't have the actual grant amount for next year. The federal budget for 2025 was approved on May 15th, about 6 months late. HUD has 60 days to get that figure published. We're about 30 days into that. We did receive notice from the LA office, HUD LA office, saying, due to everything that's going on at the federal level, retirements and so on, they don't anticipate getting that figure to us until that 60-day timeline, which puts us at May 15th, which is right around the time that the plan is due to HUD. So they do allow us to use estimates to keep moving forward in the process. So we've been using the figure of $200,000 as the estimated grant for next year. It's about 4% less than your current year grant, about $8,000. Additionally, you have $32,305 of prior year funds that are uncommitted. This was perhaps a capital project that came in under budget, administration funds that weren't utilized, some public service grants that weren't utilized. So those all get grouped together, and then we roll them forward to allow them to be used in the upcoming fiscal year. So the action plan will have $332,305 available right now. Again, that's an estimate. That number will change once we get that final figure. The recommendation will basically have funding allocated into four categories, very similar to what the city has funded in the past: capital improvements, housing preservation, public service grants, and program administration. There are caps on the public service funds at 15% of the current or the actual allocation for that year, and also 20% cap for administration. This slide is basically table two from your staff report. Again, it just kind of outlines the resources, the anticipated resources that will be available for next year, and then the activities that are being proposed. The ADA curb ramp project, which is a project program the city has funded with CDBG for several years now, basically coattails with some of the street improvement projects that Public Works is also working on. Public service grant funding, allocation for three grants for next year. The city's minor home repair program, which is carried out in partnership with Habitat for Humanity in Orange County. And then program administration that includes fair housing services. So you can see from the pie chart, the bulk of the funds obviously are going toward the capital improvement program for next year. With respect to the public service grants, the city did receive, this year we received the fewest applications we've received since I've been working with the program. Trying to figure that out, it's very similar. The same thing's been happening in other cities. We had some of this discussion at the CDBG committee that made the recommendations for you this evening. I think a lot of that has to do with COVID and nonprofits coming out of this COVID haze. Trying to find where their new balance is, where their new bottom is. So much federal funding was pushed toward agencies during the pandemic to assist the community. Those funds are gone or are going away. And so I think the nonprofits are now trying to find back where is their service level now in this current environment. As part of that, a lot of agencies have chosen not to apply for funding as they're trying to figure out where there might be opportunities to save money and maybe make some additional changes in their operations. The three applications that were received did request more funds that we anticipate will be available. So the CDBG committee has made these three recommendations for you: AgeWell Senior Services, that's the Meals on Wheels program. Families Assistance Ministries. That is their homelessness prevention program, where they can assist with rental assistance, utility assistance if somebody is in danger of being evicted or their utilities shut off. And then RSM Cares, that is the mobile drive-through food bank program. We heard earlier about the food bank that was carried out and the city council participating and collecting those donations. RSM Care typically uses the funds to purchase chicken mainly, because those types of things aren't donated, but they want to make sure that the community is receiving fresh poultry. So that's typically how the CDBG funds are used. They submit a big invoice for thousands of dollars worth of chicken every quarter, and then they're able to provide that to residents as they come through the food bank line. In terms of next steps, right now we're in the public participation process. As I mentioned, we're in the middle of a 30-day public comment period. It started April 14th. It will end on May 13th. Tonight's meeting to obtain any additional public input and input from the City Council. And then, again, coming back on the 14th with the public hearing. The plan is due to HUD by May 15th. However, because of the delay in the federal funding, there is latitude. HUD has instructed the city, do not submit anything until you have your final allocation and your numbers are all squared up. So the recommendation that we are presenting and will be presenting on the 14th is to allow staff or to direct staff to make that adjustment. Once we have that final number from the 200,000 figure to go up or down, we will proportionally increase or decrease the funding recommendations once we have that final figure. So this evening, we're requesting that the City Council, you know, review the proposed allocations for next year and then provide any additional direction, any changes that you would like us to make to the proposed action plan. We'll put those into the final document, which we will bring to the City Council for final approval. That concludes my comments. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that report. Mr. Linares, any questions? Council Member Figueroa.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Mike, good to see you. Are the three nonprofits that are listed, HOL, Family Assistance Ministries, and RSM Carriage, are those the only nonprofits that applied? I just want to clarify that.
Council Member, this year they were the only three that did apply.
Yeah, and you mentioned this, a number of nonprofits that, I mean, in the past we've had a lot of times 7, 8, 9, even 10 nonprofits that were applying for these funds. And I think some of the reasons that we talked about in the past were just the cumbersome amount of paperwork that the nonprofits have to do. Is that part of it, do you think, as well?
There is. CDBG, I always tell agencies, I get calls or emails a lot from agencies that are interested in applying. I try to make sure they understand what they're getting into. Even though it does say grant, there's nothing free about this from the operations side for both the city and the nonprofit. It's very heavily regulated. There is, as I indicated with the national objectives, meeting benefiting low and moderate income people. That income needs to be documented. There are different means that can happen. Some of them can be considered somewhat intrusive. Some agencies, such as FAM, will ask for specific income information. They want to see paychecks, things like that, because they're helping people budget. You know, you're in trouble financially. Let's see how much money you make, how you're spending your money. So there's a lot of information that can come in on that. Others are a little less intrusive, just self-certification. But there is a lot of documentation that goes with it. I go out and do an on-site monitoring of the programs every couple of years, and then occasionally, about every 3 to 5 years, HUD will come and monitor the programs as well. So over time, again, the funding has to be, from an accounting perspective, those funds have to be isolated within accounting systems so we could easily identify the receipt of the funds, the use of the funds. So it is very heavy administration. And some agencies, because Rancho Santa Margarita has a relatively small grant, your grants, other than this year, are typically on the small side. And so some agencies have just recognized that the cost of accepting that money and then turning around and providing it in the community, maybe it's not a break-even for them, for lack of a term. So they choose not to go for this funding. There may be other funding that they can seek that has less requirements.
Well, all three of our nonprofits that are listed here do tremendous things for our community, so that's great. And I just want to thank, too, everybody who's been a part of the CDBG committee. It's a very fun process, and I know a lot of our residents are able to get involved. So thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nothing to add? No. Thanks, Mike.
Councilmember Barrett.
Thank you. I have some questions building upon Councilmember Figueroa's comments. with the three grants that we are applying or that we are providing, they were determined by an advisory committee, correct?
That is correct, Council Member.
And how many community members are on that committee that showed up for that discussion?
Earlier this month, but my memory is shot. I think we had five resident members, and then we have a council member representative and a planning commission representative.
So this is something that our community takes part in deciding where the money goes in. It's not just a council member of the city determining. We actually have community members who are helping to decide where the money is going.
Councilman, that is correct. Other than the two council and planning commission appointed members, all the other members of the committee are residents.
Okay, great. And then how did you, or can you talk a little bit about how it was determined to allocate the grant spending? Was it based on the most people served, the organization that the amounts based on who serves the most organizations, who can do the most good with the money, I guess, if you... You will?
Yeah. I think from year to year that changes. I think the dynamics of a committee and then the environment of the community at the time may have some sway in how allocations are made. My best recollection from the meetings the committee wanted, because they had fewer applications this year, they were able to kind of look at the application and say, can we fully fund these and maybe even give them a little bit more than they asked for in the past? And for example, I believe like AgeWell Senior Services, I think they requested less than $5,000, but the committee said, let's give them five. It's a good program. The Meals on Wheels for Seniors, we want to support that program. The other program with FAM, Family Assistance Ministries, they've made some adjustments. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but there's some other grants that they received that has kind of handicapped them a little bit in terms of who they can assist with CDBG funding. So some of their numbers that they usually would be able to support in the past, they weren't comfortable saying, yeah, we're going to be able to help, you know, several, you know, let's say a couple hundred people. So they adjusted their number to be what they believe is more realistic. I think the committee took that into consideration as well, saying, well, you're not helping as many as you did in the past. Maybe we won't give you as much as we had in the past. And then with RSM Cares, just the volume of residents that come through the program just stands out. And, you know, it's a well-run program, all volunteer-based, I think, which also carries some weight. And I think the committee took all that into consideration and said, let's allocate the funds these ways. Ultimately, that decision is up to the City Council. That's why we're here tonight. If the council wants to make recommendations or make changes, we're happy to hear those and incorporate those as needed. My job is just to make sure we keep the program, you know, within the guidelines.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have no questions for you. You've been doing this process, managing this process for our city for a long time, Mike. And you've helped a lot of people in our city, and you made sure we dot the I's and cross the T's. And I'm just very grateful for all the service that you've provided through the years to our city.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very fortunate to work with some very fine people in this community. I'm very lucky. Thank you.
Thank you. Council members, so we've covered questions. Is there any input to staff regarding the plan that we've just reviewed? Any comments anyone wants to make? Or at this point, I think staff is looking for any direction if we had anything that we wanted to change or discuss. Councilmember Holloway.
Thank you. I was the council member at the meeting with the community members and the planning commission. Certainly didn't take as long as some in the past because of the numbers of applicants, but the conversation was similar, whether or not we had 10 or 3, and it ends up being a consensus. I don't know that there's an absolute format, and it's everybody's free to speak their mind about what they are interested in, what they think should happen. For me, it was... The numbers that RSM Cares serves, and I like the fact that they narrow it down to residents only. It's not just anybody that shows up, and the other nonprofits do the same thing. But I was really struck by the fact that they essentially have no administrative costs. I don't know if they have any. These are all volunteers, and that's a big part of it for me. And I think the decision that the committee agreed to was the right one as far as the allocation numbers that you see here. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Holloway, and thanks for your service on that committee to get us to this point.
It's, thank you, but it's all Mike, really is.
I would just like to thank you, Mike, again, for everything you do year after year after year. I was very happy, and I know I keep beating the drum for RSM Cares, but they deserve it. A lot of people aren't aware of everything they do. The food bank certainly is a primary aspect of what they do, but they certainly help fund Zero Trash. They help the 2-5, the 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, Breakfast with Santa. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of their other functions. Oh, the art, not contest, but the art support they do, the RSM Arts, I think it's called, which we talked about earlier at the last meeting and today. So they do so much for this community that it can never be overstated. So I appreciate the fact that you allotted what you did for RSM Cares. And I want to thank you again for all you're doing. Go Boise.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Fully supportive of the plan, the recommendations that have been stated in that plan. And once again, appreciate all the efforts of you and all the others that participated to help put this plan together. I don't believe any motion is necessary tonight. Staff was just looking for any feedback or direction. Is that correct? And you've got that now? Good.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
All right. That brings us to item 9. This is the public comments, the second and last opportunity tonight to address the City Council on any matter not listed on our agenda. I have no speaker request cards.
There are none.
No additional e-comments. So that brings us to item 10, City Manager's Report. The city manager, anything tonight?
I don't have anything tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 11, matters presented by the mayor and council members. I'll start to my right. Councilmember Barrett Figueroa.
Nothing to add.
Okay. No, we were very efficient tonight then. So that concludes our agenda. We're going to adjourn. The next regular meeting of the city council will be held Wednesday, May 14th. At 7 p.m. right here in our city council chambers. Thanks for attending. This meeting is adjourned.